And that started. And Shabbat Shalom on today, the Shabbat. Let's blow the trumpet and we shall proceed. Now put the study up.
Put the study up. It's right there, honey, down. Right, no, down there. Right, honey, it's right. Right, if you need your left side. There you go.
Shabbat Shalom. Very good. I almost thought you got a flat there for a second. Anyway, we're one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chabba Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God around the world. And we're here for the Shabbat. So let's ask God to bless and anoint this Sabbath. Heavenly Father, Master of the Universe, Creator of all things, first we always ask you to cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot, any wrinkle, anything that would separate us from a holy living God. Bless and anoint this study today. Bless everyone here. I pray you'll heal them, strengthen them physically and spiritually. Help us all, Father, and everything you know what we need, Father. I know that. Bless and anoint this study. Let it be prosperous in everyone's heart. Let it prosper everyone in their lives. Let us be cautioned and beware of these different things that are in this study. Bless and anoint this day. Put a wall of fire around and about us. Caution us from any evil. Be with us in a special way. Father, send your Holy Spirit in the midst of us. We just thank and praise you for the blood of Yeshua. We thank you, Father, you've taught us to keep our word, and I wish other people would keep theirs. But Heavenly Father, I just thank and praise you that we try to keep your commandments and we do those things, I hope, that are pleasing in your sight. And may God bless everyone today on the Shabbat. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Amen. Yes, our word is very valuable. What we say, we do. And if we can't do it, we'll tell you we can't do it. Well, today's June 25th, 2016. And it looks like there's about a week left of this month, and it's flying by. It's just flying by. And there's the little name Juno. June, it, you know where that comes from. It's this goddess marriage stuff going on. And it's amazing that most people, you know, it's so disguised, most people never even heard of that. You know, we just say June like it has no meaning. And of course, this really has been deleted, God's calendar. We're in the 19th day of Sivan. Let's see, last week was the 12th, right? Last week was the 12th. I think today's the 19th. Is that correct?
Okay.
Right. Sorry. You know what it is? It's the 25th day of June.
Okay. I'm just confused.
That's okay. All right. Well, anyway, we're in the month of Sivan, and it comes from the word Siv, which means bright and splendid, right there. Comes from Esther chapter 8, verse 9, right?
Yes.
Well, you guys are very informed of my ministry because at the moment, our guests that said they were coming, they haven't showed up yet, but they still have time. But you guys know my ministry is a teaching ministry. I like to bring up subjects and topics maybe that are not familiar in your life. Maybe you're just not used to hearing them. I'd like to undelete some of these for you. I'm happy I got my server running again back there. We had a storm, I guess, the other day, which, unbeknownst to us, we got almost 2.5-3 inches of rain. And in our property, when we get that, that means we get everybody's 2.5-3 inches because it comes right barreling down. Filled up our pond up to the peak when it was almost like getting really low, too. So it's pretty amazing. But anyway, our server's back up. You could read the studies. You could hear them, watch them. Yeah, I even missed my website when it wasn't up. You can hear, listen to them. You can even download them to your MP3 players. And, of course, right now we're streaming live, I believe, on PowTalk. And there's the URL to put in your real player. Haven't received any invitations lately. We have befriended certain people, but they never reciprocated any type of friendship to us. We went to visit them at their congregations. You know, like new people that are keeping the Sabbath, and we thought we would help them out. And so far, we haven't heard from them like we don't exist. But we keep trying our best, and God knows. We always read from the Law and the Prophets every Shabbat, just like they did in the Book of Acts, right there, 13:15. says after reading of the law and the prophets. Isn't that interesting? Most people don't never see that. They didn't read any letters or gospels because they didn't exist at that time. Well, I'm going to pass up the Sabbath because everyone here knows how to keep the Sabbath, except for that new person in the room. I don't know if they keep the Sabbath. Maybe you guys can find out. I'll pass that up, and then we could, if we need to read that later, I'll read it again. And that's all about keeping the Sabbath, how to keep the Sabbath. You know, we don't do our own thing today. We don't buy and sell. We don't work, all that type of thing. And everyone in our dwelling has to be doing it. So we'll pass that up. It says the word Sabbath 60 times. You're all aware of that. Let's see. Now, I was thinking this morning, from the time of the apostles until now, it's almost 2,000 years have passed. You know, it's amazing. I bet the apostles never dreamed that almost 2,000 years would expire. You know, that's a lot of years, you know. Now there are so many false doctrines, so many social media platforms, fancy websites to deceive you, you know. I went on a website the other day and I clicked on all the links. There was no information. Every link had said they're going to put something on. And that was the end of that. I guess we all know that the Corinthians were sort of a very obstinate group of people, you know. You could read this right here. I mean, I'd hate this to be known. Imagine somebody writing a letter like this about us. It's reported commonly that there's fornication among you. Such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Now, God forbid that would ever happen amongst us, but the Corinthians, they were a little, they were a handful or more. And this letter Paul wrote to the Corinthians, you guys are aware of it. He says, if he that comes preacheth another Yeshua, Jesus, whom we have not preached, or another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel which we have not accepted, you might well bear or put up with, why, you know, with him, because you're so out of it. You guys are so out of the spirit. Why would you do that? So just think, almost 2,000 years later, how many more Jesuses are there, or spirits and gospels floating around now to deceive you? Seriously, I mean, it's just, I know we say this a lot, but it's really a scary kind of deal because, you know, how many? So today's topic was, be not carried about with every wind of doctrine, you know? Apostle Paul, Shaul, writes to the Ephesians, he says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And that's a interesting letter that he writes. We don't get a chance to write letters like that, or nowadays would be emails, I guess. But it's an interesting letter. These letters were pretty private, I bet, in those days, because they were just sent to the Ephesians. Nowadays, of course, when we send an email, we don't know who's collecting all the data, or do we? Paul tells Timothy he's an apostle of Yeshua the Messiah by the commandment of God our Savior. So that's who made him an apostle. The commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, which is our hope. And he's writing to Timothy. He says, unto my own son in the faith, calls him a son, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Yeshua the Messiah, our Lord. And I notice when I read a lot of the epistles, and maybe you should notice this too, they're always letters of cautioning the people at the congregations, like to beware of certain different things that go on. He says, as I besought you to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge them that they teach no other doctrine. So even at that time, 2,000 years earlier than today almost, they were even starting to preach other doctrines. And you're not supposed to give heed to fables and endless genealogies because they just minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith so do. So anyone who tries to hit you with fables and commentaries and, you know, genealogies, and they just, all that's going to do is make questions arise, maybe try to plant doubt in your heart. Who knows? Now the goal, or the end as they put it in English, the goal of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. So that's the goal of the commandment, charity. And of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. That means genuine, you know. Of course, and here's Apostle Paul goes right into the other side of the coin immediately, from which some having swerved have turned us on into vain jangling. In other words, they became vain and they're just jabbering lips, you know. And I've even seen this. This even is so on, even for today. They desire to be teachers of the Torah. They desire to be teachers of the Torah. They learn a few Hebrew words, and all of a sudden they're the Hebrew scholars, and, you know, they're teaching everyone all these words, and understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. And that's even going on today. Just think, this is so pertinent even for today. This is almost 2,000 years ago. And now, because of all the websites and social media platforms and whoever, whatever else there is, we know that the law is good if a person uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man. In other words, the righteous person doesn't receive of the retribution and the judgments, you know. But for the lawless, they're the ones who get it, and the disobedient. For the ungodly and for sinners. For the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves of mankind, for men stealers, which is kidnapping, I guess, for liars, really, liars are in the same boat, for perjured persons, people that perjure themselves, and if there be any other thing, and if there's any other thing that's contrary to sound doctrine. So there's a battle going on back then, and it persists even unto today. Sound doctrine against versus false doctrines. Just think, there's only one sound doctrine, but then there's who knows how many vain false doctrines there are that are trying to pollute it. It's amazing. And Paul tells the Hebrews, don't be carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. Like a lot of people, you know, they just can't wait to go on everybody's website and, you know, just fall for anything that they say. I don't know why. Most people come on with a very, you know, pleasant voice and, you know, particular language, and they sound so pleasant, don't they? Paul writes to Timothy and he says, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, and I don't know why they call it the latter times then, because it's almost 2,000 years later. Maybe it seems that way. And even today, some shall depart from the faith, which that happened then, it happens today. They give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We see people, they even try to come to our congregation, they have doctrines of devils, and they look so nice and so polite. They don't even know that's a doctrine of Satan. Because how much heresy is going to the kingdom of heaven? No. Speaking lies and hypocrisies. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That's scary. Paul is always sending these cautioning letters to Timothy and Titus and the Ephesians and Colossians. And he tells Timothy, I charge thee before God and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. This is what we're supposed to do, everyone, whether you know it or not. I mean, I know everyone here knows it. You're supposed to preach the word. Okay? You don't need a license. You're supposed to preach the word. You're supposed to be instant, in season, out of season. That means you're supposed to know what you're talking about so you can answer everyone. You're supposed to reprove, which people don't like, and you're supposed to rebuke. And you're supposed to exhort with all long suffering and real doctrine, true doctrine, scriptural doctrine. Okay? And we'll go the last mile away with anyone here if they sit down and listen. And the time is come, when they will not endure sound doctrine. Just think, in the last few Sabbaths, I was telling Carrie this morning, it seemed like one of the things that I hear a lot now, people again are starting making excuses for breaking the commandments and giving an alibi because they have a relationship with God. Isn't that amazing? Time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, Shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears? Sure, they can go find a website that says, oh, God loves you, don't worry about it. You can get away with that.
That's easy to find.
Yeah. Hey, don't worry about that. See, we're Orthodox. We believe what God says, you know, distinctly and explicitly, right? We don't try to water it down or change it. But there's lots of websites that will easily, you know, you can, I guess they'll come and itch your ear with some new doctrine. And if your ear, because you know, if your ears are open to heresy, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. We've had people come here and never come back. And then they're turned unto fables. We try to help them. And, you know, we like to sit down in an orderly manner and reason things out and try to go over subjects and everything. And then, of course, one guy would get up and go, I'm a rabbi. When we just finished telling him, Yeshua says, call no one rabbi, master.
They never listen to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like their ears are plugged. And Paul tells the Romans, it's basically the same thing. He says, now I beseech you, brethren and sisters, which some people think this is slander, but it's not. This is what you're supposed to do, actually. You're supposed to mark them. In other words, jot their name down, put a little mark, a notation by who they are, and the ones that cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine that we believe in and that you have learned, the doctrine which we have learned, and avoid them. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Are you supposed to have a prayer meeting for them?
Nope.
How about go out to dinner with them? Supposed to avoid. You know what avoid means?
Stay away.
Stay away. Right. You know why? Because they that are such serve not our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, but their own belly. And now here's the thing that tricks everybody. By good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. And you got to watch out for that sweet little voice that you just think is so nice. Paul tells again the Corinthians, he's always cautioning them, beware of false brethren and of course false sisters. He tells that to the Corinthians and the Galatians. Because of false brethren, unawares brought in, you can read the rest. So I mean, there's people that might look like your brother and sister, but they're false. That's a scary thought. And we've seen that before. People that we thought were brothers and sisters, and they're not. They weren't, and they aren't, and they just were revealed. Got to watch out for people that try to be false apostles. Deceitful workers. You know why? Because they can actually put on the costume, transforming themselves into the apostles of Messiah. Shalom, we love you. And speak a little Hebrew. Mashalemcha, oh. Mashalemech, you know. And they deceive the hearts of the simple. But we're not supposed to marvel about that, because even Satan himself, you know he wants to be transformed into the angel of light. You can read it in most people's false Bibles. He's the light bearer. What do they call him? Day star. Yeah, the day star. We know that's Satan. So Satan comes, like I said, you're never going to catch the devil coming like the cartoon character with the red suit on and the horns and the pitchfork and all that stuff. It's going to come as the most pleasant situation, the most unassumed character, how are you going to get the person that will trick you? The one you think you love, the one that you think is on your side. And Yeshua cautioned us. He said, even most of the time, enemies are going to be people of your own household. I mean, that's a scary thought. Yeah. That's as close to home as you can get, right? Yeah. Yeah, you have to get them away. Get them away. Because you never know when they're going to do something. No, so because Satan can transform himself into an angel of light, so it's no great thing if Satan's ministers transform themselves into the ministers of righteousness, right? They do that probably tomorrow. Every person doing it. They don't even know they're doing it, most of them. And some today, too, whose end, their goal, It's going to be according to their works, and you know what that means. They're going to get exactly what they bargained for. And I tell people all the time, you know, a lot of people are thinking that the unsaved Jews got all the answers. Well, Apostle Paul, who's Jewish, cautions us too. Don't fall for the Jewish Judaism things that are out there today. He says, tells Titus, don't give heed to Jewish fables, okay? Their trinkets and their little sayings and their little stuff. Don't give heed. No, don't give heed means?
Don't listen.
Because you know why? It'll corrupt your good manners, I know that. Corrupt your simplicity that's in Messiah. And then it'll turn you from the truth. And commandments of men. Watch out for commandments of men that will turn you from the truth. So Jewish fables will do that. They actually turn you away from some people we've seen even around here. You know, people that they're Jewish and they got all these different religions and they don't believe Yeshua is the Messiah, come in the flesh of Israel. I always go to Brother John because his words are very powerful and right to the point. You know, he doesn't really change anything for anyone. Little children, he says, it's the last time. And today, it's even closer to the last time. As you have heard that Antichrist shall come. So they even heard the Antichrist is going to come. He said, but now there's many Antichrists, little Antichrists, whereby we know that it's the last time. So just think, if it was that bad back then, how would we word that for today? Who is a liar? But he that denies Yeshua is the Messiah. He's an antichrist that denies the Father and the Son, which is the Word. So if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father, right? Whosoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father. So if you don't have the Word of God, the Son of God, right? That means you don't have the Father. If you don't have the Word and the Father, what do you have? Nothing. You might look holy. You have that the robes of righteousness on, pseudo robes of righteousness. But you're praying to no one. There's no one home. There's no one there. Yeah, there's no one home. You're praying, you're talking to no one. Imagine just talking to this wall. That's what it's like. And then maybe the devil will make you feel some kind of spirit. And you think, another spirit. Oh, I got answered. Terrible thing. Paul tells Timothy, he says, supposed to be without controversy. No controversy, but today there's a lot of controversy. Because, you know, great is the mystery of godliness. And that's probably beyond our imaginations because it's a spiritual thing. God was manifest in the flesh. Supposed to be no controversy about that. God. And how do you prove that? Well, you just go to a couple of more verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wow. God can actually, I'm not trying to say separated himself, but his Word is him. And the Word was made flesh. There's God in the flesh. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the only as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So it's really that's a big time mystery to most people, because how could that happen? How could God do that? Anyway, back to John, if you acknowledge the Son, you have the Father. Nowadays, it's going to be more, that sentence isn't true nowadays, because there's a lot of people that think they believe in the fake Jesus, and they think they got the Father. So that would have to be reworded in our lifetime. But this was a letter that John was writing back then, 2,000 years ago. Yeah. You know, this is the funny part. Not the funny part, it's the deceptive part. Because a lot of spirits you think you're going to feel. I bet everyone, I'm sure everybody thought they felt the spirit in the last religions they were in. Yeah. Believe not every spirit. You're supposed to try the spirits, whether they are of the real God. Because there's many false prophets gone out into the world. There's a lot of people that say they're prophets or prophetesses, right? They're false. They just look, they might look holy or, you know, I don't know. Or not. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, and every spirit that confesses that Yeshua is the Messiah is come in the flesh, and that's the flesh of Israel, and that the Word was made flesh, is of God. God came in the flesh, right? Every spirit that confesseth not that Yeshua is the Messiah come in the flesh, that's the flesh of Israel, is not of God, and that the Word was made flesh. If they don't believe that, they're not of God. Just think of that. They're not of God. And they have the big cathedrals and the big, all the different, you know, buildings out there. You know, you can name them all yourself. They're not of God. They look like they are, don't they? I mean, they got multi-million-dollar buildings, like millions of dollars. Stained glass, and they got all the, some people have all the statues. Some people have all the menorahs and candles. Some people have all the whatever else they got, the beads and all the scrolls and beads and beards, and that doesn't make you holy. That does not make you holy. Does not make you right. Anyway, every spirit that confesseth not that Yeshua is the Messiah come in the flesh, if you don't think God was manifest in the flesh, and that's the flesh of Israel, you're not of God. That's a pretty simple sentence. And it's really strong, because you can see how many people or types of religions that can affect. We heard that it should come, and even now it's the spirit of Antichrist, actually. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Imagine that. They don't even know it. They don't even know they have the spirit of Antichrist. And John was saying, you heard that it should come, even now it's already in the world. So if it was already in the world back then, how is it today? I mean, it's...
a lot worse.
Think about, like, Karen and I, we were just amazed that even in, like, this place, Franklin, where we live, we've seen them build, just recently, gigantic building churches. I don't even know where they get all the people to come. Gigantic. I mean, like, this one place I'm thinking about on Cool Springs Boulevard. How big is that place? It's so big beyond... You wonder... Just to, Satan will give you the biggest building in the world. Huh? Wherever it is, on Mac Hatcher. Mac Hatcher. It's probably one on Cool Springs Boulevard, too. It's Mac Hatcher. But what I'm trying to say, getting away from that, that's not the point. The point is, they don't have the right Yeshua. They have another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. They don't even know it. All the people don't know it because they, you know, Satan will drive them to church for a couple hour and a half and drive you home and it'll make you feel the spirit, and then you forget about it. You don't even know what the minister said anyway. And then you go shopping and go to whatever you do. Ever used to do, I should say. John tells us many deceivers. He just goes right to the point. There's so many deceivers are entered into the world that confess not that Yeshua is the Messiah come in the flesh. And that's the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh, and that he is that's the flesh of, not just any flesh, it's the flesh of Israel. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. He says it again. John's really on this, writing letters. Yeah, he's really on the antichrist thing. Because it's very prevalent, and he recognizes it. So how much more nowadays we should recognize it? I'm sure it's overboard prevalent today. He says, look to yourselves that you lose not those things which we have wrought, that you receive a full reward. So whoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of the Messiah, you do not have God. Period. It's that simple. So, you have to know what the doctrine of Messiah is, and who the Messiah is, and what he was supposed to do, and when he was supposed to come, and what was he supposed to accomplish, and what was his ministry, and, you know, the whole thing, and the whole doctrine of sacrifice and offering, and, you know, the whole thing of forgiveness of sins and atonement. If you don't have that, you're not of God. Wow. Think of all these people that are not of God that you think that you talk to on a weekly basis. They're not of God. Huh? Most of them. Almost all of them. Think about it. You could be looking at somebody talking to them and in your mind go, this person's not even of God, but I'm here just because of my job. It's like weird when you think about it. They're actually dead right in front of your eyes, spiritually. Just think if the breath went out of them, they end up in hell right in front of you. No matter how big time they think they are, or whatever their position is in life, or whatever, how much money they got, or whoever. How nice they are. They go, whoop. They meet the Lord, right? He that abides in the doctrine of Messiah, you have both the Father and the Son. So make sure you have the Father, the Son, which is his word. And Satan even complicated that issue, because nowadays, which word? There's hundreds of Bible versions. Seriously, there must be 200 or 300. Every time I turn around, there's another Bible I never even heard of. I was reading the other day online, this guy made up another Bible. It was called, the Et, the Aleph and Tav. And he's got a whole doctrine on that. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Now, this is the problem which most people don't do, because they're sweeted in God. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the real doctrine of the Messiah, you're not even supposed to let them come in your house. And you're definitely not supposed to go, well, praise the Lord, bid them Godspeed. Why would you do that? Because if you do that, you're a partaker of their evil deeds. You're condoning what they're doing. No, you're supposed to reprove them before they get away from you. But you have to do it in the correct way. Don't just yell at people. Make sure you do it right. You know, do it in the spirit. That's what I'm talking about. You're not even supposed to let them come in your house. How about that? If they have the wrong doctrine. They bring some false doctrine into your house. I don't mean if someone's coming to visit you to have a cup of coffee. I'm talking about if somebody's bringing a doctrine to your house, you're not supposed to let them in. Okay? That's what John's talking about. He's not talking about if someone's coming over just to drop off something, you go, don't come in my house. It's talking about if they're bringing another doctrine to you. If they don't bring this doctrine, see the words? They bring not this doctrine, the doctrine I'm talking about, you're not supposed to receive them into your house. Otherwise, you're just a partaker of their evil deeds. You know, even this last book in the scriptures we have, Revelation, God says he has a few things against you, because you have them that hold the doctrine of the doctrine. See, it's always about a doctrine of Balaam. And that doctrine was that he taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel and to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. And God also hates the deeds of the doctrine. See, doctrines are damnable. That's why I'm trying to bring this up today. You might think it's no big deal. Well, they could damn your soul. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans, God says, which he hates. He hates it. What do you think of that? And Peter writes to us, Brother Peter. So far we had like all these witnesses, Apostle Paul, Shaul. We had John, Yohanan. We've had, who else did we? Peter. Now we have Peter. All these people that we know that they actually saw the Lord. Just think, they actually witnessed him. They're real witnesses. He says there was false prophets among the people then. And we know there's false prophets and false teachers among us today. People just desire to be a teacher when they don't even know what they're saying. They just copy websites. Who privily they're going to bring in damnable heresies. See that? If you're damned, you lose. Even denying the Lord that bought them and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. check this out. And not, a lot of people are not even going to object. Many are going to follow their pernicious, which means destructive, deadly ways by reason of whom the way of truth that what we're preaching, it's evil spoken of. Oh, those guys are telling me I can't work a little bit on the Sabbath. I'm a single mom or dad. Oh, that guy says I can't, you know. We've had a couple of people come here, just think of that, with the same message already. They thought we were going to give them license to break the Sabbath. Don't worry about it. We can just, don't worry. God winks at it. No, he doesn't. Unfortunately, many love that kind of doctrine, and they follow that pernicious way. And then our way, they speak evil of. Those people are, yeah, man, they're just too strict. They're mean. Because we tell them the truth. True covetousness, they're actually full of covetousness with feigned words. In other words, ungenuine words. They make merchandise of you. And all I can tell you is whose damnation now of a long time. It isn't lingering. They're going to get, it's coming so swiftly if they only knew. And their damnation isn't sleeping. Just think, they're only one breath away. Because if God didn't spare the angels that were in heaven that sinned, see, no sin is going to be in heaven. He kicked them out too. He cast them down to hell. He delivered them in chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. That's what hell is. Hell is their reservation place where you get reserved in chains of darkness unto judgment. And then death and hell will be going to be cast into the lake of fire. I don't know, you know, I can't explain that to you. I don't have the words, or I've never witnessed that, thank God. And I don't want to witness it. He didn't spare the old world. Just think, the whole world in the time of Noah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He's the eighth person, by the way. That was a real circumcision back then. Yeah, the eighth. Bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Just think of that. No people, they couldn't escape. There's nowhere to go. And this, we actually, my wife and I had a chance to actually see in person. He turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. They're ashes. It was too when I touched the place. The mountain looked like a mountain. It went like that and just broke. Like, I got to knock the whole place down with my finger. I don't know how it's staying up there. Seriously. He condemned them with an overthrow. They were overthrown. Just think, they didn't even know it. When Jehovah rained down fire and brimstone from Yehovah, from heaven, a plurality of God. And he left, that's there today as an example, an ensample unto those that should after live ungodly. So if you don't believe it, I would beckon you to go to Israel and go check it out. I would say it would be something good to see, because it's really there. The whole place is ash, and there's no volcanoes. It's left there, actually. It's actually left for you to see as an example. So we don't have to go find Noah's Ark. Go find Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
It's really there. God delivered just Lot, only Lot. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. I'm happy I don't work out in the public anymore, because that's all I used to hear all day long. People cursing their brains out. A filthy conversation. That righteous man dwelling among them and seeing them and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. It should vex you when you see people cursing and whatever they do, trying to tell them dirty jokes and just get away from me. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. But he also knows how to give you a reservation. He knows how to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Just think of that. God does everything so perfect. Imagine him giving you a perfect punishment. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and they despise any type of government, any type of rule, any type of reproof and correction. You know, they hate government, the government of God, any type of people that might be able to lead you in the right path. Presumptuous are they. They are. They're self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities or anyone of God, for real. They're not afraid to do that. Whereas even angels that are greater in power and might bring not a railing accusation against them before the Lord. Even angels, messengers of God, don't even do that. But these, as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not. How many people you've met that speak of the things they don't even understand what they're saying? And shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And shall, they're going to get a reward. They're going to receive the reward of unrighteousness. They get a reward. As they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, their spots and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Just think that they want to be partaker with you, but they have spots and blemishes, and you should recognize them. Having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin. Beguiling, that's deceiving, unstable souls, beguiling, they beguile you. Hearts that they have, you know, you exercise, they have hearts they've exercised with covetous practices. They're cursed children. This is Peter, he's pretty bold. He said they've forsaken the right way, and they've gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. He loved those wages. That was what he got paid. But was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. And Peter goes into all these like picturesque descriptions. Imagine a well without water. It's useless. How about clouds that are carried with a tempest? Useless. To whom the mist of darkness, there's that reservation again. Reserve, it's reserved forever. That is the most frightening thing, if you could just think of that. That's why you can't let anybody or anyone or any situation or any kind of anything steal you away from God or the doctrine of the God. When they speak great swelling words of vanity, oh, we love you, follow us. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantingness, those that were clean escape from them that live in error. Isn't that amazing? While they promise you, come with me, you'll be free, liberty. They themselves are the servants of corruption. Of who a person is overcome, the same as the person that's brought into bondage. They're back into bondage. There's no eternal security. Because after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Yeshua the Messiah, and they accepted the blood of the Messiah and the sacrifice that he presented, himself, his body broken, and the grace that we could do it without, never deserved it. After they did all that, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. I would say so. They probably go into berserk maniacs. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. Then, after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Wow. It's amazing. In other words, they had the actual antidote to go help other people get out of the flames of hell and the lake of fire. But it's happened unto them according to the true proverb, which is in Proverbs 26. The dog has turned to his own vomit again. Dogs always go back to their own vomit again. They're so cute. And the little piggy, the sow, after they're all cleaned up and, you know, you go, wow, that's a cute pig. They just want to go back to they want to go waller in the mire again. That's what they love doing. And there's Proverbs 26:11. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. They're foolish. And I feel like this sometimes, like Apostle Paul says, and I hope I live a lot longer, to maybe a couple of hundred years old. Well, if God keeps you in the right body frame. He says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So the grievous wolves are going to try to sneak in and take over. Remember, they're not going to look like a wolf. What are they going to come dressed like? Sheep. Sheep, yeah. The wolf comes in sheep's clothing. Yeah, little sheep. And they're not going to spare the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise and women, speaking perverse things. You know why? Because they want to draw away disciples after them. Yeah, come to my ministry. I got the truth. Yeah. I want your money. Give me the money. So he says, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not. What did he do for 3 years? He warned. He warned everyone. Just think of that. That's the message. And that's still the message today. We're warning you night and day, and sometimes with tears, Apostle Paul says. And now, brethren and sisters, I commend you to God, and so do I today, and to the word of his grace, amen, wherein which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Amen. That's the inheritance we want. But everyone that's wholly sanctified before the God of Israel. So remember, there's always a way, there's always wise, scriptural, godly counsel to confer with. You don't have to go it alone. Forget that go it alone and you're going to go seek God all by yourself. That's where the wolf comes when you're all alone. Proverbs says, where no counsel is, what happens to the people? They fall. But in the multitude of godly counselors, there is safety. Wow. How simple that is. Proverbs 24:6 says, by wise counsel, that's how you make your war. That's how we make war against the devil, too. We attack. And in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Right?
Yeah, there it is.
So anyway, that's a quick little study today. And I want to say Shabbat Shalom. Hope you got something out of this. Basically, to summarize everything today, basically, make sure you're on the right doctrine. Make sure you have the right Yeshua. Make sure you have the right, you're feeling the right spirit. Make sure you have the right Bible. The right word. Huh? The right counsel. Make sure you're following people that fear God and keep his commandments, and you'll be doing okay, I guess. So you have to examine yourself always. I noticed when I read the letters nowadays, the only thing I think about is I immediately hear all this nice salutations and beginnings, and then all of a sudden I hear the warnings. They're full of warnings. You ever look at the letters like that? Warning this guy, warning that guy. Watch out for Demetrius. Watch out for Alexander the coppersmith. He did me much evil. Watch out for this person, that person. Paul is cautioning. He's cautioning everyone. And we have to caution people today. Watch out for that doctrine and this doctrine. And watch out for that Bible version. And I try to tell people a couple of Sabbaths ago about the David Stern Bible, that the guy even contradicted himself. And they go, oh, no, that didn't sound like a contradiction. I said, he said he translated the whole Greek thing himself. He can't speak Koine Greek. That meant nothing to them. It meant zero to them. Like, I could have went like this. It meant nothing. I mean, think about that. It means something to me. I don't know too many people. I don't even know Greek professors that speak Koine Greek. They don't. That's K-O-I-N-E, okay? Koine Greek or Koine Greek, however you say it. But I'm saying you could check that out with Greek professors. They even say there's over 500 words that can't be translated today because it's a whole different Greek. Today we have classical Greek. Classical Greek is totally different. Anyway, I'm going to say Shabbat Shalom and may God be with us. And may God protect us from every false doctrine that will try to invade our truth. May God protect us, show us who false brother and sisters are, and get them away from us, Father. And bring only people that love the truth and desire truth and seek the truth, Heavenly Father. Bless the rest of the Shabbat. Bless the food, the singing, anything we do. And I thank God for the people here that keep their word. And for the people that don't keep their word, I hope you trouble them. I pray, Lord and God, one of these days, we know we're going to meet you, and we want to meet you without spot or blemish or wrinkle. And we want the inheritance in the saints. Amen. With the saints. And may we see you one day, Lord and God, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. May God be with you, the God of Israel. Anyway, I'm going to click off that. I'm going to shut off the video. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. God bless you out there. Take heed. And I'm going to stop the audio.